Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, pro cycling's got a new problem. We discuss the curse of the extra boring stage. What can be done about it? Does anything need to be done about it?
We've also got a quickfire interview with Visma Lisa bike hitter Matteo Jorgensen, plus how you can get paid $1,000 to ride a bike and the return of the wattage bazooka.
It's not boring, is it?
No. This week in the world of cycling, we learn that cyclist tan lines are about to go next level with these sunglasses with built-in aerodynamic fairing for your nose.
I mean, I do like a big pair of shades.
We know.
As many of you will know, but even I would stop short of that.
Well, presumably, as they are aero, we might see a certain Ollie Bridgewood sporting them in the very near future.
Well, I mean, if you start wearing an aero bra, your dignity is long gone already, so you might as well go all in with those, frankly. Now, we also learnt that Uber are offering to pay people $1,000 not to drive.
Yep, they're going to select 175 people in cities across the US and Canada who will each have to go for 5 weeks using alternative modes of transport.
Which includes Ubers, which are cars.
Yeah.
But anyway, calling all North American cyclists, take the money. What a dream gig as well. I mean, 5 weeks, that's an easy gig.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't understand how easy that is. Anyway.
Unless it's 5 weeks in a Canadian winter.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. We know how bad that is, Canadians. We also learned that the new Trek bike is sadly not the Dan Meow. But actually, it's a new Madon, isn't it? They're saying that this Gen 8 is now as aero as Gen 7, but as light as the Amondo, hence why that model is now effectively obsolete for the pros.
Apparently, it reduces bike anxiety.
Which is what, Dan?
Choosing which is the most appropriate superbike to ride that particular stage on.
I mean, that is a nice problem to have, isn't it? I expect the mechanics are pleased.
Well, yeah, it makes their job easier, doesn't it?
Indeed it does. Now, we also learned just what it takes to win the first stage of the Tour de France, thanks to DSM Firmenist Frank Vandenbroek uploading his power data to Strava.
305 watts normalised power for nearly 6 hours, which doesn't sound too high, even if it does include the 40-minute neutral zone at the start. However, when you dive into the details, this graph of the last 10Ks is enough to give you heart palpitations, isn't
it?
You can see from his power when he's doing his plus 400 watt turns in the front and then recovering at 200 watts.
You can also see, can't you, that the speed increases every time he hits the front. Apparently, his nickname is the Wattage Bazooka.
Well, there's a blast from the past, isn't
it? It is, yeah.
That's also one of the GCN members' emojis, incidentally.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you guys, we love you.
We do.
Don't we? Loads of you have signed up to the GCN membership on YouTube, so thank you so much for the support. It really genuinely means a lot.
It does, doesn't it? As a reminder, we have got 3 membership tiers on offer. Musette being the entry point at $2.99 a month, and that gives you loyalty badge, custom emojis to use, including the Wattage Bazooka, and also a discount on GCN merch.
Then it's the Casquette tier, which in addition, at $12.99, gives you access to 50 of the GCN Plus films, which are going to rotate over time, aren't we?
Indeed. Those GCN Plus films, much asked for, weren't they, over the last few months when they've been hibernating. And then lastly, the Bidon Crew at $22.99. Shout out to you folks who will be looking at an exclusive members-only water bottle and a signed book as well.
If you would like to join, there's a button under each video, plus on our YouTube channel homepage.
Yeah, although if you're using an iPhone, don't seem to be able to do it.
No.
Which, not sure why, but that's a question for YouTube.
It is.
Yeah.
Should we get on to our coffee machine chat from earlier on today?
Let's do it, Dan.
Here we go then. Do Grand Tour sprint stages need a big shaker? That was the question that me and Si were pondering.
Well, that was in part because of yesterday's stage of the Tour de France, which was, well, it was a snooze fest, wasn't it, frankly?
Until near the end.
Really near the end.
It was the longest stage, incidentally, of this year's tour at 231Ks, and sort of sandwiched between the hardest opening two stages for decades and then today's stage, which goes over the mighty Col de Galibier.
So, the riders can be forgiven, can't they, for not wanting to race too hard, or rather take it slightly easier, perhaps, on a day that was 99.9% sure there's going to be a sprint stage?
Well, with lack of wind, yes. So you can definitely understand their point of view. But all top-level pro sport should be entertainment, really.
That is what it's there for, ultimately, isn't it?
And there wasn't much of that, i.e. entertainment, going on for about 5 hours yesterday. We didn't even have that traditional early breakaway go up the road.
No, which is never very entertaining, but at least it gives you something to look at. Yeah, and that is a recent change, isn't it, I think? For years, we'd see normally the smaller invited teams go up the road in what was termed a TV breakaway, i.e. a way to get your sponsors' names on screen and to be talked about by race commentators around the world.
However, it now seems that the invited teams, they're kind of at a level where they have bigger fish to fry at the race. So take Uno X as an example. Jonas Abrahamsson was leading the KOM and the Green Jersey competitions at the start of yesterday's stage. And they also had two sprinters to look after in the form of Alexander Kristoff and Søren Valenschulte.
Total Energy probably have less of an excuse. Although they did fire someone down the road, didn't they, briefly?
They did.
Towards the end. But frankly, I can't really blame them. Who wants to be out front for over 200 kilometres when it's very unlikely that anyone will join you?
Nobody appeared to be the case.
Well, yeah.
After that question yesterday. Although, like you said, they did attack towards the end. And again, I don't blame the riders. When we were racing, we would love an easy day in the saddle, wouldn't we?
It's
but
true,
as
yeah.
a viewer, I've got to say, especially in my time as a commentator, the day that sort of two riders went up the road, or none at all, as was the case yesterday, they were a nightmare.
Yeah, but as an educated fan, you kind of know that there's no point tuning in on a stage like that until the final few kilometres. And you know that those final few kilometres are going to be incredibly entertaining, high octane, as you said before. And perhaps that's all you need, just a few amazing kilometres.
I know what you mean, but I've always had a big worry that there's somebody at home just channel hopping on TV and they stumble across cycling for the first time on a stage like we had yesterday, and they wonder to themselves why anybody would ever want to waste their time watching pro bike racing.
Well, yes. I mean, perhaps if you want to snooze, it's a good bet. But yeah, I'm also reminded every year at Milan San Remo, to my mind, the best race of the calendar, but in it you get 6 hours of nothing, do you? And even diehard cycling fans moan that it's boring when they're just clearly watching it wrong. But it does beg the question, isn't it? What needs to change?
Well, that is a big question, isn't it? If you ask sprinters, they will say that nothing needs to change. And I take their point as well. I mean, they need their opportunities, just like climbers do, or time trialists, breakaway specialists, etc. I just wonder whether things need spicing up a little bit.
How so, Dan?
Well, I don't know. Some kind of incentive for riders to want to race earlier on in the stage. Be that big cash prizes or more bonus seconds or, I don't know, just something. Either that or just halve the length of those stages, because that would mean more incentive to attack because you know you won't be out there as long.
Well, I know what you mean. I mean, there are incentives for people to race early on. That's what, like, intermediate sprints are for, right? And KOM points. And some races put, like, special prizes up, preems, don't they, midway through the stage for people to get stuck into.
I mean... We were talking earlier, weren't we, at the coffee machine.
At the coffee machine,
riders
yep.
are very well paid nowadays. Perhaps the cash prizes aren't as much of an incentive, but maybe just take all of the prizes currently allocated for the stage finish, because you've got the accolade of winning the stage on the line there, and just put them all at an intermediate sprint for the first five riders across it, like 50 grand for first.
But what would you get from that?
50 grand?
No, as in, like, as a fan, you'd be like, oh, here's this random bit that doesn't mean anything.
No,
like,
very true.
I don't know, I just feel like...
We haven't thought it through that well, have we?
Well, no. I mean, the other argument, my argument, is that nothing on the race needs to change. It's the TV coverage that should. I mean, the issue of boring stages could be fixed simply by not broadcasting the boring bits. I mean, you literally just don't show it.
Well, the difficult thing is you never know when crosswinds are going to blow, do you?
You don't, but then you can record it and then just make amazing highlights packages at the end.
Yeah.
Like an hour show every day could make even the most boring stage fun.
I know what you mean. I'd imagine that a big proportion of TV viewers or cycling viewers don't have time to sit in front of the TV for hours either.
We don't.
Live or on demand, and just choose to watch well-edited highlights instead. One thing is for sure, it's not just a problem for cycling, this.
No.
A few years ago, football's governing body was looking into reducing the duration of games to kind of strengthen audience retention and, I guess, watch duration as well. And some of America's biggest sports have considered doing similar.
That is news to me, actually. I'm quite surprised about that. Social media probably has a lot to answer for. So, I mean, it's got a lot to answer for on everything. But there is so much to watch now that fighting for eyeballs has never been harder. And the emergence of Shorts or Reels or TikTok has likely reduced attention span even further.
Ironically, I guess the best sprint finishes often make the best short form video, don't they? And probably do serve to increase interest in the sport as a whole. I just hope those newly converted viewers from those shorts aren't disappointed when they tune in live for the first time.
No, I know what you mean. I think on a boring sprint stage, you want to watch at least 15 minutes of build-up.
Yeah.
Because like just a sprint on its own is a bit meaningless. But if you watch 15 minutes of like, and then you get it.
Yeah, the trouble is because of the differing speeds that they can go at, you don't know when those 15 minutes are going to be. It's not like the last 90 minutes of a football game where you know almost exactly when that's going to be.
That is true. Well, yeah, we'll throw it out to you guys. Do you think that sprint stages need to change? If not, why not? And if so, how? Yeah. What can we do?
I.e., do you have better ideas than we've just come up with? I'll tell you what I'm a fan
of. Yours was rubbish. Yeah, go on.
Sprint stages with a hill near the end. So that Giro stage finish this year into Napoli was fantastic. Now, Jonathan Narváez attacked on the climb. He was caught, but very close to the finish. And the pure sprinters did get to fight it out for the win, having fought very hard to stay in with a chance of winning.
It's like Milan-San Remo, isn't it?
Mm.
But yeah, it was a cracking stage, wasn't it? I can't believe how long he held on for. Insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, as you said, let us know your thoughts at home. We'll be reading the comments and suggestions with interest.
Next up, though, Ollie was out at Visma Lisa Bike on their altitude training camp just ahead of the Tour de France. He was there thanks to our clothing partners, Ahu, who also supply kit to Visma Lisa Bike. He was getting a sneak peek at their Tour de France kit.
Which, I got to say, I really like. I think it's very cool. Did you know it was inspired by the Renaissance? And it actually pays tribute to the host of the Grand Depart, Florence.
I did know that because you told me a little bit earlier on today.
All right, thanks, mate. Smarty pants. Anyway, Ollie caught up with Matteo Jorgensen for 21 quick fire questions.
Matteo Jorgensen, are you ready for your big ones?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Great. What is your best day ever on a bike?
The first thing that comes to mind is probably the last stage of Paris-Nice this year. Finished in my hometown, won the race, my biggest result ever, and yeah, rode my bike home 50 meters. So after the finish line, it was like
that's dreamy.
Dream come true.
That's amazing. Yeah, sounds pretty good. What's your worst day ever on a bike?
2021 Giro, our leader crashed right after the neutral zone. It was a huge mountain stage. I think it was like 15,000 feet of climbing or 4,000 meters. Yeah, he crashed 2K into the race and it was probably a 170K stage if I remember. And he waited basically with the ambulance trying to figure out if he was going to keep going for a while. And eventually he decided not to keep going, but me and Albert had waited there already 15 minutes while the race was continuing and the fight for the break was going and going and going. And so, yeah, me and Albert rode alone the whole day behind the peloton.
Chasing time cut.
And
what was the weather like?
I was the last rider. I made it within like 1 minute of time cut. It was the deepest I'd ever gone. It was horrible.
The deepest you've ever gone, you came last.
I came last place.
That's horrendous.
Yeah. But I was able to finish.
That sounds pretty bad. Yeah. Who is the best descender in the pro peloton?
Also a good question. I would say Mohoric.
Right.
Yeah.
Matej.
I think there's a lot of guys that descend fast, but I feel like he's one of the guys who has control when he descends fast. I feel like a lot of guys will go really fast, but then I feel really not comfortable behind them, let's say.
Okay. You walk into a cafe mid-ride, what do you buy?
I usually get a decaf café au lait or café con leche.
Okay, moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
Leg warmers, over or under your socks?
Over.
Okay.
Over the socks.
Okay. Race you'd most love to win that you haven't already?
Tour of Flanders.
Okay. We're in the quickfire round here. Okay. Beer or wine?
Wine.
Aero or lightweight?
Aero.
Okay. Who will win the Tour de France in 2024?
Jonas Vingegaard.
How much does an altitude camp cost?
Too much.
Do you obsess over your bike setup, or do you just get on it and ride?
I used to obsess, and now I get on it and ride. Okay. The body will adapt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cycling cap or baseball cap?
Baseball cap. Baseball cap.
Nobody's perfect. Who's better, Mathieu van der Poel or Wout van Aert? I feel like I know the answer.
Neither. I'm better than both. No, Wout's better.
Okay, all right, yeah. Team loyalty. Okay, yeah. Cool. Short high-intensity intervals or a long training ride?
Long training ride.
Okay. One by or two by?
Two by or three by.
Wow. Favorite piece of cycling clothing?
Moto jacket.
Moto jacket. Agu moto jacket.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on your new TT helmet?
Oh, it goes fast. I'll say that.
Okay. What motivates you to keep training and racing so hard?
I love the work of it. I love the process of training.
Okay. Best teammate?
Say Tiege Benoot.
Tiege Benoot.
Yeah.
Best piece of advice ever given to you?
It's a numbers game. If you keep going, then eventually you'll win something.
What?
With enough time.
Just keep doing enough races.
Just keep going.
Just keep doing enough races.
Valverde, you retired at 40 and okay. You won a lot of races.
Yeah. Okay. Worst bonk you've ever had?
I've had so many. I can't remember.
Really? You've had...
Oh, so many times. I used to have no idea what to eat. Or I used to just...
Bonk all the time?
All the time.
Okay.
All the time. Majority of my rides used to be bonked, right. Yeah.
Okay, and this is the most important question, the last question.
Yeah.
Who is the best GCN presenter?
Daniel Lloyd.
We're not friends anymore.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
I think we should stop asking that question about favourite presenters. I don't like it.
No, I think we should continue with it.
Well, if we did stop, it would save you lots of money, wouldn't it?
Why?
Presumably you've been bribing Matteo Jorgensen.
Yes.
Anyway, we're going to start Cycling Shorts with some music news, if you can call it that.
Mm. GCN has created a new genre of hip-hop. It's called Hankster Rap.
Blake, I'm looking for a bike, not like that. Like this.
I'm looking for a bike that's lightweight. Carbon, loud hubs, aero, 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 aero. I'm looking for a bike that's lightweight. Carbon, loud hubs, aero, 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 aero. I'm looking for a bike that's lightweight. Carbon, loud hubs, aero, 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 aero. I'm looking for a bike that's lightweight. Carbon, loud hubs, aero, aero, aero.
Honestly, I was rendered speechless by that video, and I'm still not quite sure what to say.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say to everyone out there, be careful, because as pants as it is, it gets stuck in your head.
Aero.
Yeah, aero, aero. I also like, someone points out in the comments, only Hank would need to look at his phone.
For the script.
The script.
The lyrics.
With three words. Yes, anyway, there we go. Apparently that's available for people to use to make their own reels with. We've had a few good ones on Instagram. So,
see if you can remember the lyrics yourself at home.
Yeah. Right, now we've got some news of shoes. Next, haven't we? Adidas made a cycling version of their Samba trainers, which was SPD compatible last year. And clearly, it wasn't a total flop, because they followed up with an SPD Stan Smith called the Velo Stan Smith.
Never mind the shoes. That's quite the tracksuit.
It is a strong look there, isn't it? Now, you'll have seen by now, I'm sure, that Dan and Ollie were out to start the Tour de France. Was it good?
It was good, mate. It's the first time I've been on site at a Grand Tour since 2019.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it's always good to catch up with a couple of the riders, team management. But as much as that, the people that are already following the race before the race even starts.
Yeah.
Lots of people come up and say how much they enjoy what we do at GCN.
Oh, that's
always
cool.
A bit of an ego stroke, but also nice to know that people are still enjoying it.
Yeah.
12 years down the line.
That's amazing, isn't it? What was the best thing you saw?
I think probably the Mini Hulk on the front of Tadej Pogacar's stem. And the other best thing I saw was the Alpecin mobile hairdressers or barbers, because I got a fresh cut.
Thought you were looking good, mate. Yeah. So, I mean, you've put, or you and Ollie collectively, with a lot of help from our amazing filmmakers, have released two videos already, right? So Hot Tech over on GCN Tech and a close look at Tadej Pogacar's super tricked out Colnago. Yep. A few other things spotted. A few teams using electric cars.
Yep, EF, Uno X, and also Team DSM, who I caught up with about that. They've been practicing with them or testing them and are now using them at the Tour de France. That was quite cool.
There you go. And then, am I right, I think you got some insight on Tadej Pogacar's hair?
Yeah, I got an exclusive, I think, from that. So the former world champion hairdresser who cut my hair.
He's a world champ.
2008 Chicago. I mean, he looks about 32 now. Goodness knows what age he was in 2008.
Well, it's but anyway, a young person's game, isn't it? That?
Yeah, he was basically saying that Pogacar's hair sort of grows outwards. I mean, I know everyone's hair sort of grows outwards, but...
Apart from ingrowing hairs.
Well, true, yes. But apparently the hair on pretty much every part of Pogacar's head grows sort of perpendicularly to his head.
I mean, you would never have guessed that, would you, from looking at pictures of him wearing his Met helmet. No. But yeah.
Anyway, in amongst all the hot new tech from the Tour, we noticed that Tern have released a new, more affordable compact cargo bike, which they've called the Quick Haul Long, which sells for about $2,000 less than a GSD.
The iconic GSD.
Well, you think it's iconic, don't you? Because you've got one.
Yes. You just wait, though. It's going to be an icon. This new one has got the same cargo capacity as the GSD, but it's just got fewer bells and whistles, basically. So a great option for most people. Thumbs up to Tern for that
Thumbs
one.
Thumbs up, yes. Back to the Tour de France for a moment. Team Visma Lisa Bike launched their new mobile control room with great fanfare.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
It's a transit van which is fitted out with high-tech software, and it's designed so that the team can immerse itself directly in the race, ensuring perfect coordination with other members of the performance team. I quote.
Yeah. Course. Unfortunately, like some other attempts at innovation cycling, it's been banned, hasn't it? Not outright. The UCI are yet to rule on the subject, but the tour organisers themselves are saying that it's not welcome, frankly, and they won't give it accreditation.
Yeah, well, that's just van life.
Van life, isn't it? Outcasts, yeah.
Anyway, EF responded to that with this. Hey, Visma Lisa Bike, do you like our control room?
I mean, I don't, actually. That carpet or tiles, whatever it is absolutely rancid. UAE Team Emirates went one better with this, though.
That genuinely made me laugh out loud
when
I saw it. Fantastic.
I don't quite understand why it needs to be mobile.
No, me neither.
In this day and age of, like, you know, mobile phones and the like,
yeah.
I just don't see what advantage there is to be gained from rattling around in a van.
No, there's some quite incredible technology when it comes to communication remotely now, isn't there? Right, some Zwift news now, because they've announced a challenge for during the Tour de France. Their climb portal, which allows you to ride a variety of famous climbs on rotation, will have 8 classic tour climbs for you to ride. If you tick off all 8, you unlock a special in-game kit.
Yeah, and that'll be no mean feat,
no.
Knocking off all 8. Some are fairly easy, like the Col d'Ers, but the Col de la Culliole, I think I've said that right, haven't I? Culliole.
Yeah. Something along those lines. It's
18 kilometres and climbs 1,200 metres.
Ouch.
Bits of it pitch up to 20%.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah.
Right, moving on then. We'll finish cycling shorts by announcing the winners of the Tri-Peak giveaway ahead of announcing a brand new one courtesy of Switch. You'll remember this was for the Tri-Peak asymmetric oversized pulley wheels, of which there were 5 up for grabs.
The lucky winners are Stephen Lawless, Paul Moser, excellent surname,
yep.
Dave Candy,
also a great surname,
yes indeed, plus Chris Dolorosa and Robert Dukes.
Who all have lovely surnames.
Oh, they do, yeah, actually. Lovely, yeah.
Anyway, well done to all five of you. If you haven't heard from somebody at GCN already, then you will do very soon indeed. Right, our new giveaway, courtesy of Switch, means that there are three Go kits up for grabs.
Yeah, so for those of you who watched our video from Sunday, you'll be well aware of what a Switch kit is. But for those who've yet to watch, do check it out when you finish watching the GCN show. But essentially, the Go kit allows you to change your normal bike into an e-bike.
Click on the link in the description below to get to the competition page. There is a bit of small print with this giveaway, though. It's open to those residing in the UK, Europe, and North America. Entries close at 10 a.m. BST, Friday the 12th of July, 2024.
Yeah, winners will be announced in a GCN show from Tuesday the 14th of July. So good luck, folks. And I'd be quite intrigued to know what bikes people are going to electrify.
We'll find out from the winners.
Yeah, we should.
Hack / bodge of the week now. A reminder, the uploader is now back up and running. So if you would like to contribute to this part of the show, we'd encourage you to do so. It's upload.globalcyclingnetwork.com. First up this week, this one from Lima Juliet, Bike Cave Revamped. Revamped the garage bike workshop, updated my tool boards, new racking to make finding all the fluids, greases, etc. easier, new feedback sports elite workstand. Everything's easier to grab with plenty of space to work in.
Looks very cool. I mean, I don't really know what to say, because it's definitely not a bodge, but I can't really say it's a hack either.
No,
it's they're just putting you to shame, having admitted that your garage is an absolute nightmare.
I would also admit to being jealous, but yes, this for me is neither a hack nor a bodge. This is just, I'm going to tidy my garage up and send pictures in. I think it looks great, don't
it
get
does,
me wrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not
I mean, maybe
not
the tool
road
board.
Bikes, you know? They're all gravel bikes.
But it is just a tool board. I don't think that's something that's been made at home.
No, I mean, inspiring for those of us with crap garages or, you know, just horrible bike storage rooms. Should we just give a thumbs up?
We could do, yeah. I mean, I might submit my own next week and just open my drawer where I folded neatly my Aku team kits or GCN kit.
I want to see a picture of your garage, mate, looking like a
No, you don't. Crikey, we're going to have to bleep that.
I think that's appropriate language to describe your carriage, isn't it? Anyway, right, next up we've got this one from Niels. Slipping seat post. Hey guys, I have a botch/hack for you. I was on a training camp in Mallorca. We had rental bikes from a big Swiss company, naming no names, and one of the guys had issues with his slipping seat post, and so it was fixed with a Topeak mini pump and some electrical tape. Yeah.
The pump being wedged underneath the saddle and on top of the top tube. So probably not something you'd want to do with your own bike,
no.
I wouldn't imagine. But if you're getting one from a big Swiss rental company, fine.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that was particularly comfortable on the saddle department. You know, given that saddles are relatively flexible, whereas there, every time you go over a bump, you're effectively being hit with a mini pump.
Well, which would you rather? Slightly less flexibility of the saddle or your knees around your ears?
Well, it is true. Like, slipping seat post is one of the most irritating things that can happen to you on a bike ride. So I probably would go for being hit in the undercarriage with a mini pump. And Mallorca's fairly smooth, isn't it?
Yeah. You don't want any more kids anyway, do you?
No, but I think there's more humane ways of getting that outcome than being hit repeatedly with a mini pump. But anyway,
I'm going to hack.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It would spoil the ride, you know. As you well know, many years ago, I had an issue with a slipping seat post as I rode home from work, and it's an ordeal I will never forget.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'd have taken it back and gone, can you sort this slipping seat post out?
Yeah, but maybe it only happened 30Ks down the road.
Well, maybe it did, yeah. Anyway, I hope, Niels, that it worked for you guys. So, hack. Then.
Yeah, I'm going to hack as well.
Okay.
This one came in from Ostoon Zoom. I saw in Flushing NYC, thought it was a cool hack for the mudguards. The front is less to be desired.
Well, I mean that...
Can you describe this for podcast listeners, Si?
Barely. So it is indeed relatively mudguard shaped. It looks like it could be made out of plastic drain pipe and sort of riveted together, and also there's a zip tie. And the saddle is covered.
I was waiting for you to mention the saddle.
I mean, I don't know whether that's integral to the mudguards, but it appears to be covered with many, many, many plastic bags.
Yeah. I mean, here in the UK, a plastic bag now is at least 5p, isn't it? It looks like there's about a tenner's worth.
Yeah.
Plastic bags covering the saddle here.
I mean, that was what people used to do in the olden days, wasn't it? To keep your saddle dry if you had to leave your bike outside, was to put... But then I think saddles have come on a bit since that. So I don't think you need to keep your saddle dry anymore.
Most saddles are waterproof, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they are indeed. I mean, it's a massive bodge as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm going to go bodge for that as well.
Well, there we go then. That is it for this week for Hack or Bodge. As Dan said, keep them coming. There is no reason why not to. So, and we do enjoy this part of the show, don't we?
And if you've just tidied your garage, make sure you send some photos in.
Yeah, garage shaming Dan. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section that relates to a photo that we'll give you in just 1 second. But as always, it's results first.
You almost couldn't remember what people had to do then, could you?
I know.
After all these years.
Funny, isn't it? 599 episodes in and, it's escaped me.
A big 600 next week then, is it? Last week's photo was this one of Neve Bradbury of Canyon... Crikey, I can't talk either. Canyon SRAM. For those of you listening, she's the head of a group of 5 riders with her arm reached out to her left-hand side. Now, winner this week is the JMB F10 caption competition. Neve, are you using SRAM Red? No, I'm using the Force.
There you go. Not bad, that one, is it? Not bad.
No.
Worthy winner. So get in touch, JMBF10, and we will get your Camelback water bottle out to you. This is the photo for you to get your teeth stuck into this week. That's Tadej Pogacar doing a wee.
Yeah, at the start of stage 3 of the Tour de France. No, it's going to be easy and boring. I will get you started. Whilst I'm here, would anyone else like a yellow jersey? I mean, it's that toilet humour, literally.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I needed Dan to explain that to me. Twice, actually.
You know it's a bad one. If it needs explaining once, let alone twice.
Yeah, but there he is nonetheless. So, resplendent in his own yellow jersey and yellow shorts, too, which
were yellow before he'd started the stage.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, anyway, there we go. Please put your witty captions in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week.
We will indeed. Speaking of GCN Camelback water bottles, a reminder, we do have a special edition French collection one, don't we? Which you can find over at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com, which is the same place you'll find a huge collection of French-related T-shirts, two of which Si and I are sporting on the GCN show today.
Indeed. I've got a graphical representation of the Col de Brousse.
Yep.
Which is on the race later on, isn't it?
I have one that, as you can see, well, you won't be able to see if you're listening, it says Allez on it. Oh, you've got one that says Allez, 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 Allez. Lyrics that Hank would have to read, I think.
That's true.
If it was turned into a song.
Aero, 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 aero.
Anyway, your support is always very much appreciated. So if you'd like to make a purchase, shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. Just before we let you know what's coming up on the channel for the next 7 days, we'll take a few of our favourite comments from the last 7.
Yeah, well, we're going to start with the show from last week, where Dan tried to use the word slay.
I tried to be down with the kids.
Basically tried to be down with the kids. To which some kids got involved, or teenagers, should we say. Tyne Gasperlin said, as a 15-year-old who was training and racing a lot, this show and all other videos really helped get me faster. Oh, thanks for that. Big thanks to everybody at GCN for putting in the effort. And yes, Dan, you used the word slay correctly. But I did also notice this one from Robert Tell that said, as someone who has been old for longer than even Dan, I can confidently say by the time you read it, young kids aren't saying it anymore. Which I thought was a very good lesson. To which I thought it was even more amusing that Jagrutirathod said eating/ate is now replacing the word slay. So, for example, Pogacar ate that performance at the Giro.
Wow.
So there you go, Dan. Slay is so last year, and it's now all about 8.
Well, I should try and get 8 in its new new way of using the term into next week's show somehow.
There you go.
At the end of this one. Underneath the foam roller, we had this. Underneath foam roller, what was that?
So last week, we gave a shout out to that lady that had found GCN whilst foam rollering.
Oh, yes.
To which someone else, Colin Littlewood, said, I too found GCN whilst foam rollering.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was bonkers. So there you go.
I wasn't even riding a bike at the time, but got hooked by the content, bought a gravel bike the following year, started riding to work and went for my first bike packing trip earlier this year.
There you go.
Thanks for all the great content.
I hope you've still got super smooth IT bands, Colin.
Something to do during sprint stage of the tour, I guess, isn't it?
God, you'd foam roller a lot, yeah. God, I hate foam rollering.
Do you?
I think it's the worst, yeah. Hmm. I mean, even when I was supposed to do it for performance reasons, I struggled. But
like, what reasons do you have to do it now?
Well, I don't. No, thank God. And touch wood, I haven't got any, you know, need to foam roller. But maybe I'm missing out.
Next up, underneath the cheap bike challenge video, we had this from LTRTG13.
GCN member.
Yes, I was about to say.
LTRGR.
He's become a member on our YouTube channel. But things I've learnt watching this video. Hank wasn't a homing pigeon in a previous life. Connor is tall enough to see Bath. Manon, sometimes it's faster to cycle to your destination than use the train.
I did have a chuckle. Manon waited so long for that train. Given that she was riding an e-bike, she could have just trundled back to Bath. But anyway, yeah, go check that one out if you've not seen it. Underneath Dan's interview of Jonas Abrahamsson, who has made quite a good start to the Tour de France, hasn't he? It's fair to say.
I mean, it was a well-timed video.
It was
indeed,
thank you
to Jonas for doing so well in the first two stages of the race.
But I thought this was really interesting from Rossero Bertoli. Said that the same thing's happening in competitive climbing. You'd think weight would be even more important in there, but both Janne Garnbret and Adam Ondra both put on weight and got better.
Wow.
So there you go.
Mm. John Westwell wrote, Jakob Fuglsang admitted in 2019 that he wasted 8 years of his career eating too little.
Remember that.
He felt much healthier once he accepted that he should weigh 8 kilos more than his former race weight. I didn't realise it was that much. And Garrett Thomas has said that he's only able to hold his competitive grand tour weight of 68 kilograms for his one targeted race of the year. It's just too difficult to maintain that weight for any length of time without getting ill.
Yeah. It's a really important topic, that one, isn't it? And definitely worth a watch, that Abrahamsson video, because super interesting, isn't it?
It is.
And you don't often hear stories like that, but really cool that they exist.
He also got a girlfriend for the first time because he put on weight. You'd have to find out exactly why by watching the video. I found it quite, it made me chuckle.
Well, you did, out loud, in the mid-interview. Yeah, there we go. Right, and then also underneath the Brompton video, Dr. Scoot, who's also a GCN member, now said, laughing my arse off, I just watched the Brompton special on the GCN members videos, and now I'm watching this one as well. So good timing.
Right, on to what's coming up on the channel this week, starting with Wednesday, which is where we're going to show you what pro riders choose to have on their head unit at the Tour de France. And there's quite a disparity. So I personally spoke to John Degenkolb and Niels Eickhoff of Team DSM Firmenich Post NL. And I believe that Ollie Bridgewood caught up with Sam Bennett of Decathlon Age Tour as well.
Did you ask them what was on their Wahoos?
Yeah.
Like, use those words?
Yeah, I think so.
Did they laugh?
No. Well, I'm not sure I did. I don't know if I did say that.
No, okay. I'll be quite intrigued to find out. And then also, Alex Payton is over at Eurobike, we should say. So getting all of the hottest new tech. So stay tuned to GCN Tech on Wednesday for that. And also Thursday on the GCN Tech show. And then on Friday on GCN Tech as well. So loads and loads of Eurobike content.
Meanwhile, on the main channel, Matteo Jorgensen on Thursday talks about all the different kit that they plan on using during the Tour de France for different stages, different weather conditions, etc. So that'll be fascinating. On Friday, well, I got to catch up with the people from Shimano Neutral Service just ahead of the Tour de France kicking off. And that was a fascinating insight, I've got to say. There's a lot more going on with being a neutral service person than would first meet the eye. And I've been in the sport for a long time. I thought I'd have a rough idea of what went on. I did have a rough idea, but there's a lot more to it, as I said. Saturday, riding around the world with Vinangi Kulkarni. We mentioned this on the show a couple of weeks ago. Oh, we didn't give an update, actually, did we?
On Leah Wilcox. I can give you an update on Leah Wilcox right now. She has completed her European leg. She made it to Tbilisi. in Georgia. Said Georgia was amazing, actually. It's long been on my bucket list, that country. Mm. So anyway, that sounded great. And she is now on a plane to Australia, where she's following a route that is set by Mitch Docker across the continent.
Huh.
So there you go. But poor old Lael, she's obviously gone from European summer to Australian winter. So...
Yeah, best of luck.
Yeah, I mean, she is from Alaska, so you'd think she's probably going to be okay.
Yes.
But nevertheless.
Might give her a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, might. But yeah, that's where Lael's at.
She's not the only person that's going to be doing a round-the-world record attempt, because I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Vedangi is also starting from India in roundabout now, so the best of luck for her, but we caught up with her ahead of her record attempt.
Yeah, we did indeed. And then on Sunday, this woman changed cycling for millions. Sounds like a big statement, but I think it's absolutely true, in fact. So, check out the GCN video on Sunday to find out what we mean. There we go. I think that's pretty much it, isn't it?
It is. That's all for this week's GCN show, but we will both, of course, be back this time next week
to talk you through
the sprint stage of the tour.
Yeah. Give the video a like if you've enjoyed it. And remember as well, those GCN memberships, you can find the link beneath this video. Unless you're using an iPhone.